Center. March is National Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month, and Murray Ridge Center is pleased to recognize the many contributions that individuals with developmental disabilities make in our community. Murray Ridge Center, helping people for a lifetime.
A short-term staycation with independent and assisted living options at the Abbey Wood can give your family peace of mind. Beat the winter blues. Enjoy a staycation at the Abbey Wood on South Abbey Road in Elyria.
This is Bullseye on Weather on AM 930. Overnight, it will be nippy with a low near 8. Light snow showers Tuesday. Windy, high of 20.
It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, final hour of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch joined alongside my tag team partner Matt Douglas, having some fun here on a Monday. Staying warm here in the studios of AM 930 WEOL. That's going to be a tough thing to do over the next couple of days. Although it'll feel spring-like in 6 days, next Sunday, so they say, and that's perfect. Dodgeball with her. We're going to talk about some dodgeball, yard signs, a lot of great things here with David Pritt, the Director of Instruction and Curriculum at North Ridgeville Schools, here on our Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series, brought to you by Nordson Corporation, a vital, self-renewing, worldwide organization helping build products the world uses every day. David, thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me again.
Well, a lot of great things to talk about. Anyway, certainly a lot of great news coming down the pipe here in recent weeks and months on what's happened to North Ridgeville. And I think the last time we had you on, it was close to the beginning of the academic year. Certainly a lot has changed, and well, a lot of great things happening in the community. And I want to begin with something that certainly got a lot of attention. And it was a pair of mothers in the North Ridgeville school system that kind of started this idea, realizing that people weren't exactly observing the traffic laws when buses were making stops, motorists were speeding right by them and violating a number of different traffic laws in the process. But tell us what happened here with these two mothers that decided to make these yard signs to create more awareness to halt these school bus passers.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you said. I think it's a matter of awareness. So North Ridgeville, like many communities across the country, really struggle with people stopping for school buses. I mean, the majority of us see yellow lights come on and then the red lights go on and we know to slow down and stop. But what we're finding across the country is that that's not necessarily the case. And whether that's because of people just being in a fast-paced society or whether it's people being distracted drivers, we have more and more of these issues coming about not only here but across the country. So if you look at statistics, I'll tell you that, you know, somewhere around 80 to 100 kids a year are actually killed getting on and off school buses. Jeez. So that was, you know, one of those things that the parents are concerned about. And when you see this happen multiple times in a day, you know, it was just decided something had to be done. So if you drive around North Ridgeville right now, you're going to see about 200-yard signs that say, you know, when the flashes are on, basically stop. Seems like a simple thing to do, but it is something we're challenged with daily. The district's been kind of proactive. They've added some what they call swing arm cameras to the school buses recently. Put them on 4 buses. On the very first morning they were in operation, they caught 3 people running through stoplights. Mayor Corton, the last time he had Mayor's Court, he said he had 40 cases. 30 of those were people running through stoplights, and that's on 4 buses. So you take that and across the fleet of 55 or 60 buses that we have in North Ridgeville, and you can recognize the severity of the problem. So really it's about that awareness piece. I don't know whether people don't remember back to their driver's ed days, and when I have to stop, and with North Ridgeville growing and streets growing to 3 lanes and 4 lanes, you know, that doesn't change anything. You still have to stop when you see those lights come on. It doesn't matter which direction you're going. So it's definitely an awareness campaign, and we're appreciative to the parents and everybody who has gone out of their way to do this. So drive around town. It's kind of the backstory behind those signs you're going to see.
And I think it's fascinating, too, because the message has certainly been sent. If you drive through North Ridgeville, and we talked about the construction going on Center Ridge last week, I've actually seen more of those signs than I have seen orange barrels along Center Ridge. So you guys did a wonderful job of getting the message out there. And again, it's just a reminder to folks that are driving. I mean, just obey the traffic laws, not to mention when the safety of kids is at stake. It just seems like an obvious thing to do, doesn't it?
Yeah, more so than the traffic laws or the fines or the points or anything like that. It's student safety. I mean, we know when that big yellow bus stops, somebody's getting on or getting off. And that's what we've got to keep in mind as we're driving is, you know, that could be my kid, could be your kid, could be the neighbor's kid. And you know, that's somebody's child, and we have to be protective of them. You know, you shouldn't have to worry that you're going to be able to get on the bus successfully. But unfortunately, you talk to our drivers, and too often, you know, they're honking horns and blowing whistles and things like that. It's a giant concern.
Student safety is very important because the North Ridgeville students are doing a lot of wonderful things and a lot of special things, and we're going to dive into that. Most recently, the district and the Friendship APL teamed up to help raise some funds for a puppy in need. We love the Friendship APL. We have Greg Willie and the gang there on frequently because they do so many wonderful things. But how did the school district get involved here to help this puppy in need out?
Yeah, so one of the things I've been most proud of is my time in North Ridgeville. I've been here about 20 years now. Is since day one, they have been a giving community. So they got involved this year with the Friendship APL as through our student council at the Academic Center. So our student council was looking for a cause to help support. And this year, for the first time, I think, in my 20 years of being there, that they found out that they wanted to help an animal. So what they did was they reached out to Friendship APL, and they were actually looking for donations for a dog who needed to have some eye surgery. So they were looking for about $1,200 to help along with that. So the Academic Center, being what they are, and everybody loving a good competition, put together a series of days. So they spent a day on Browns Day, and you paid a dollar to wear your favorite Browns apparel, figuring you were a dog that day. Picked a day that was my personal favorite was Cat in the Hat Day, where you wore your favorite Dr. Seuss apparel.
I bet that got pretty creative there.
That really did. everybody loves Dr. Seuss, even, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade level.
Sure. So,
they spent some time for Cause for a Pause, and what they really did was they broke kind of into the fundraiser, but also had that friendly competition going on. So the studio that raised the most money got some perks to that, and we shot well past our $1,200 goal. Actually raised $4,344 from those activities. So they're actually able to do the eye surgery and then give the additional money to another dog that needed some spine surgery. So just an awesome giving community.
Wow, tripled and darn near quadrupled the goal.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
Very, it's a lot when you consider it's a dollar at a time.
Yeah, very cool stuff. Again, David Pritt, Director of Instruction and Curriculum at North Ridgeville Schools, joining us here on our Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series. And boy, the North Ridgeville Academic Center has students with all kinds of artistic abilities. Their artwork, most recently, on display in Columbus. Tell us about these students and their work and the incredible artwork that was on display.
Yeah, so something we've been very proud of as a district are the arts in general in North Ridgeville, whether it's the visual arts, the creative arts, whether it's the music performances, the bands, the choir. It's something that's been a strength in North Ridgeville for a long time. So we actually have a number of students that have work displayed around the state currently. We've got three students who are currently have their middle school students, fifth and sixth graders, who currently have their artwork at the Rhodes Office Tower in Columbus as part of the Capitol Building. We've got a student who actually has her artwork at the State Teacher Retirement Board in Columbus. And then we've got about five students who are actually showing some work at the Akron Museum of Art right now. So these are students that have entered into earlier rounds of competitions. They have been, you know, selected best in show or of high quality and have moved to these places. So this is about the third year in a row that we've had students down in Columbus. We spent some time last year at the Rife Art Center across from the Capitol Building. So the arts are strong in North Ridgeville. That's something we're proud of, something we're looking to grow, and hopefully, you know, as we get bigger, it's something we can expand.
That'd be pretty exciting for those students, too. I'd imagine they get that opportunity to kind of go down and see it in that atmosphere, and it's one thing to have it hanging in the hallway of the school, but to have it hanging in an area like, I mean, the art in Akron at the museum or the big government building has got to be pretty neat.
Yeah, absolutely. We were fortunate enough last year on one of our Ohio trips to stop by and see some of the art there, and to see that art, you know, along with some of the best art in the state is absolutely amazing, particularly when you're somebody like me who lacks the artistic gene. Not something I inherited or was born with. So to be able to see quality art and to see the art that these kids do, even as fifth and sixth graders, will just blow your mind. So,
art's a big deal in North Ridgeville, no question about that. You know, along these same artistic lines, you had five students who won Gold Key Awards at the Lorain County Regional Scholastic Art Exhibit. Tell us about the kinds of work that came out of this.
Yeah, so the Scholastic Art Exhibit is actually a nationwide competition, and then we compete in a region that includes Lorain County, Erie County, and Huron County. And basically, we had this year in those three counties about 1,600 pieces of art that were actually submitted for judging. From there, they took the top 550 or so pieces and actually displayed them over at Lorain County Community College. So this year, we do have five students who actually represent six pieces of art. So we have Ronnie Jackson, a senior at the high school, who actually won two gold keys for his work. Got a couple of others at the high school, Brooke Boyer, Hannah May, and Jacob Schultz, who got gold keys as well. And I actually had a seventh grader, Faith Schneider, won a gold key. And then following that up close behind, we had a couple of students with silver keys and 14 students with honorable mentions. So the arts are alive and well in North Ridgeville.
Very impressive showing with five students there getting gold key awards. That's really, really cool stuff. Well, a few months back, since our last conversation, I know new superintendent in town, and obviously changing things up a little bit, you guys developed some long-term strategies for the school system. What kinds of details can you share on these long-term strategies?
Yeah, so the biggest thing right now as we look forward is obviously increasing offerings for all of our students. So we started that with our Ranger High Tech Academy. That program is expanded to grow next year. We're looking at expanding our AP offerings at the high school. So when I took over the position about 6 years ago, we had five AP offerings. We're up to 14 currently. Actually, last year, the high school was named an AP Honor Roll School. So out of all of the high schools in the country, that award was given to about 330 of them, only 21 of them in Ohio, and North Ridgeville High School was one of those. So we're about expanding opportunities right now. The other thing that we're really working hard on is looking at our long-term planning for our facilities. So we know we are a growing district at about 140 kids last summer alone. Our recent projections tell us we're going to grow at a rate of between 3.5% and 4% probably for the next 10 years or so, which means next year we become the third biggest school district in the county, actually behind Lorain and Elyria. We'll pass Avon for that. So the big discussions right now is what do we do for space? So we know we've got the Academic Center, which is a beautiful building that's going to support our needs long into the future. But what do we do with our elementary end? What do we do with our high school end? And that's kind of the discussions that we're having now, working with some facility planners, working with the community to decide, you know, what do our next steps look like? I looked at our numbers just this morning. Just since the start of the school year, we've added 30 kids from the start of the school year to today. So a lot of people think of growth as being a school year issue or a summer issue. And in North Ridgeville, it's an all-the-time issue, which is a great problem to have. We talk about the fact that people don't move to communities that don't have good schools. And I think when you look at the number of people wanting to come into the district, I think it certainly shows the quality of education that we're offering. So that right now is our big push is, you know, over the next couple of months to figure out where we go from here as far as what growth looks like.
Is it a measure, I mean, a curriculum aspect or a matter of trying to find space to kind of make room for everybody as things continue to grow?
Yeah, and you know, it's both of those things. So the first thing, obviously, is the space piece. Where are you going to put everybody? Yeah. So when you're talking adding 150 kids a year, you know, if they were in a grade level, you're talking about adding six teachers. Wow. So where do you put six teachers additionally in the district because there aren't rooms that just sit empty? And then the second piece of that is, again, it becomes the staffing piece. Who's going to staff it? Where do the materials and the resources and all that come from? Because despite the fact that the community continues to grow, funding doesn't necessarily grow. You know, there's some legislative things that kind of cap the money that you're bringing in. So that's always a challenge and a concern. It's a great problem to have. You know, we're one of the, you know, top 10 fastest growing areas in the state and number one in Northeast Ohio. So the challenges associated with are many. You know, we talk about the transportation piece at the beginning. We've added probably four or five buses in the last 2 years. You know, you're talking 150 kids, even if two-thirds of those get busing. Oh. You know, you're talking about needing two more buses to get kids to school. So that's a unique challenge. But again, I think we've got a great team in place to address that.
I'd imagine for the curriculum aspect, too, having six teachers kind of trying to stay on that same path, probably a little tougher than just having two, perhaps.
Yeah, for sure. The good news is they're generally spread out. You know, our classes range anywhere from having, you know, 12 sections of a grade level to as many as 14. Yeah. What's really helped us is adding the extra sessions at High Tech Academy last year. So this growth had us expand that faster than we had planned to do. Next year, we get a little relief. Our eighth graders who are going to move into a high school program, we actually have a partnership with Lorain County Community College where we'll actually house our high school program at their North Ridgeville campus. So we do little things like that. We've worked on some partnerships, but in the end, you know, it's going to take some long-term planning and some decisions at some point in time. So you can only keep growing at this pace for so long before you're completely out of space.
Bit of a blessing and a curse, I suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a fun discussion to have, though, too, because you're talking about either improving facilities or building brand new facilities, too, right? And I would imagine that if you get a lot of the same feedback that you've gotten already on the academic center, which Matt and I have both had the opportunity to experience, it's a fun conversation to have. I mean, certainly it might be a little nerve-wracking at times, not necessarily knowing what direction it's going to go, but when you're talking about the improvement to facilities or new facilities, those are always fun conversations, aren't they?
Yeah, they're absolutely fun conversations to have. The difficult parts with all of that is, obviously, you know, it's the same thing as running your home. You need to upgrade your home, and the dollars need to be there to do that. But absolutely, I mean, if we could, you know, start over and build 10 brand new buildings, I don't think there's a district anywhere that wouldn't do that. So, you know, we're in a supportive community, and that's what gives me hope and everything as we move forward. I think people are going to see the Academic Center and what we've done there and really appreciate what we have done and recognize the need to provide that same learning opportunities for our younger students and our older students as well. So, great problem to have.
No question about that. Well, we can't cut you loose here without asking about this dodgeball tournament that you guys have coming up. Matt, when he found out about this, dressed up like White Goodman from the movie Dodgeball, he was all excited. He has his knee pads ready, got his elbow pads ready. He's actually been practicing firing a dodgeball ball against his garage door several times and actually trying to practice moving out of the way to
dodging
test his reflexes,
wrenches.
Some wrenches. He's been talking to Patches O'Houlihan. So Matt Douglas is ready. He was fired up when you told us about this dodgeball tournament before. Where and when is this dodgeball tournament taking place?
So this is actually our fifth annual dodgeball tournament, and it's a fundraiser put on by a Ranger PTO council. So these are our parents who are in charge of helping out in the schools, providing scholarships for students, providing parties for students and things like that. And that's actually scheduled to be on March 15th at 6 p.m. at the Academic Center. It is a great time. You see people take dodgeball very seriously. Matt, you can have my spot, actually, if you're looking for one. So telling the guys before we got started here that my last game was 4 or 5 years ago when we still allowed students to play, and I ended up on a court against some high schoolers. I'm not even sure I got hit. I may have just walked off and pretended that I had, because it's an absolutely terrifying experience to play against high schoolers when you're not anymore. So, but it is a great time for everybody involved. $5 at the door will get you in, and like you said, all that money goes to a great cause. So.
Sounds like a lot of fun. You said that's March 15th?
March 15th at 6 p.m.
All right, I got some time to work on the throwing arm and all, right?
See, so it's the kind of dodgeball that you saw in the movie, right? It's not like everybody, one person gets a ball, and then like 10 people pack it in front of a wall and have a ball thrown at them. Is it, you have to run out to the center line, grab the ball, run back, and throw it at each other? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you got it. Just like that kind, you know, I think the state tries to outlaw in PE class every year. It's that kind where you go out and you get the ball and you load up your teams and it's an interesting evening, to be sure. We have had more than one trip to the emergency room over the last 5 years. So,
oh, geez.
You know, we get teams of bus drivers that will schedule gym time to come in and practice, and, you know, teachers that come in and practice, and it is pretty competitive. So it's a good thing to see if you have the time.
Dodgeball's fun. Such a fun sport to play, but you're right. If you haven't played it in a while, you have to kind of prepare yourself mentally and physically to get struck by a ball that isn't always forgiving. You know, just speaking from some, you know, past experience, it's a lot of fun to play, but it's for a great cause. Like you said, $5 gets you in. It sounds like it's going to be a really good time. David, this is a pleasure. Thanks, as always, for coming in and sharing all the great news going on in North Ridgeville school system. We look forward to doing it again.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Thank you, David. Again, that's David Pritt, Director of Instruction and Curriculum at North Ridgeville Schools. On our Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series, it's brought to you by Nordson Corporation, a vital, self-renewing, worldwide organization helping build products the world uses every day. We need to